Oh, yeah. Now it's serious.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 131 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good, good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. Oh, and no. As all the girlies say, I'm pretty fly for a white guy. Do, 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 do. You don't seem impressed by that, Sean.
That's about right, to be honest. You choosing that bit. I was like, do you know what? That's about right. You've got to be up here one of the whitest people I've ever met, Morgan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. Let's have a game. Let's see who's up. Matthew Davis from the Blackout. He's white down here.
Okay,
and a pilot. But yeah. Anyway, this week's guests are the legendary. Mind, I've got to say it three times. Fucking legendary, mind. The Offspring. Wow. Yeah, this week we had the fantastic Dexter Holland and the unbelievable—not his actual name, but Noodles. Unbelievable. Yeah. I can't get over it.
Yeah, it's a special treat indeed. The original punk rock pranksters have brought us the endless collection of fun versus emotionally deep party anthems for going on 40 years now. Their influence helped bring punk back to the mainstream in the 90s, shaping the genre for what it is today. And now, for the first time in almost a decade, are back with a new record in Let the Bad Times Roll. We were lucky enough to be offered some time with two true icons in Dexter and Noodles and couldn't resist sharing some laughs with them. So in this conversation, we touch on everything from new music secrets to unexpected hobbies, their touring survival guide, a question they have never been asked before, that's a guarantee, and why Sean once spent a moment with Noodles in a bathroom.
I like how you've worded that. Nice. Very nice. Noodles was the first rock star I kind of ever came into contact with, and now we've just had bathroom, you're wondering how the contact was. Exactly like you're thinking it was. End to end. It wasn't. But yeah, thank you very much to Dexter, Noodles, and their team at Concord Records for sorting this out for us. We had a very, very good time. And we talked everything. Like Morgan said, new record, old records, Joe Exotic Tiger King cover. Yeah, it was super good. And congratulations on The Offspring on that single, Let the Bad Times Roll. That's one of my favourite Offspring songs, maybe ever. I was going to say for a while, but it's obviously going to be for a while. They haven't released an album in 10 years. But yeah, thank you very much to Dexter and Noodles, not his real name, for coming on. We had a lovely, lovely time.
Yes, exactly. And it's just nice to make them laugh and have a little bit of fun with such an iconic band. And it's crazy to see as well, right? Because I was going back through their back catalogue earlier, and you forget just how many massive hit singles they have had. Right, obviously, all these bands, you have like a few that, you know, you play at a night out, it's going to erupt. But the Offspring have got a whole catalogue of just hits. And they're actually the 384th most played artist on Spotify at this time, which is quite a big achievement when you think about it.
No, it's very much a big achievement. Sorry for making you laugh. It's because you were looking me dead in the face. And I was thinking, have you gone round counting up all of the plays for everybody in the world just to get that statistic from the Offspring?
I did, yeah. Every single artist you can imagine.
Morg, listen to me now. Your time would be better spent doing other things.
Yes, probably for the best, yeah, when you think about it.
There's something you could have been concentrating on more for the podcast, maybe, than going through every artist. Because you would have had to have gone through 370-odd other artists before you got to the Offspring to find out where they were.
Well, we need a good fact once in a while, Sean, so I put my energy in the fact for this podcast.
Yeah. What number were they, did you say?
384th.
Jesus, that's not... Think about it, though. That's mental. In all of the world, right, of all of the people who've ever existed and make music, they're the 384th most played. Who can we get the higher up? Who's alive? Who's alive? That's what you got to take in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true as well. But
Morgan, do you know what? I'm glad you spent your time doing that now, because it's given us this little fucking factoid. And me to ruminate on it.
Yeah. Well, while you think about that, and before we get into this wonderful conversation, just a quick reminder.
I'm still thinking about it.
As always, if you'd like to support our mad rambles and this podcast as talking to special guests each and every week, please head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. If you're looking for, I don't know, a community of people to get involved with, make some new best friends, and have some even more bonus content to laugh at as well, I reckon it's the best place for you to check out.
Even if, right, you don't want to make friends, right, and you just want to support the boys, it's still a fantastic place to get involved. So patreon.com/sapmin. While you were talking, I was just thinking, well, Justin Bieber's definitely got to be one of those 383 other people. So we probably, next week's episode will probably be Justin Bieber then, I imagine. If you could just sort that out. Morg,
okay, cheers. Yeah, I'll give him a cheeky tweet from @SapninPod on Twitter and a message on Instagram.
Well, I tell you what, listeners, if you'd like to hear Justin Bieber on this podcast, and God knows I would, get in touch with him and us and tag us both on Instagram and Twitter @SapninPod, @SAPPENINPOD, @SAPPENINPOD, and then add @JustinBieber as well, and then say, come on the podcast to talk about the fact you had to shave your hair because you got bullied out of having dreads.
That's a weird
topical news. Topical news that nobody expected. How many people are listening to this now going, oh, I can't wait to hear The Offspring. Oh, Sean's talking about Justin Bieber, the twat. Anyway, that's that done.
That was a weird, very strange segue. But let's just get in to this great chat with the boys from The Offspring. You're going to have a laugh. You're going to learn some things. Dance, fuckers, dance. Episode 131 of Sapnin Podcast.
Fucking Sapnin!
Sapnin!
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sapnin'!
Yes!
That's awesome! Dexter, you even sounded a little bit Welsh then when you said sapnin'.
I was trying to be a little more California. We draw it out a little bit more. Sapnin', you know.
Oh, yeah.
We might say sup more. Than
sup.
Sup.
Don't change the name of our podcast now. It's way too late. All right. We're like 130 episodes in. It's definitely too late now. This week's guests are punk rock legends, Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring.
Yes.
Guys, thank you very much for giving us your time. How are you?
Good. We just did a hot sauce taste test thing, so our mouths are on fire, but we feel good.
Oh,
wow. Good. Oh.
Yeah, we're all awake now.
Yeah.
It's still morning for us here in Huntington.
Oh yeah, sorry if we're a bit early for you.
But hang on, how hot are we talking? I mean, what kind of degrees did you get to with all this sauce?
I don't know what it is on the Scoville scale. Do you know what the Scoville rating is?
In the low thousands, thousands, like 3,000, okay. Something like that. But
okay,
no. I call it a 7. It's not like a 10 out of 10, but it's healthy.
All right,
nice.
But how have you guys been over this last year with everything going on? Because obviously it's been a very busy time for you. Brand new record out. We'll get to all of that. But just personally and just day to day, how have you guys been surviving and keeping sane over this year with no tours and being stuck at home?
Yeah, fortunately, we have our own studio. So we were able to come in here and, you know, the record was mostly done when the pandemic hit. So we've been rehearsing a lot. Also doing Christmas songs and then we did a cover from that Tiger King documentary, one of the songs from that.
Which is fantastic, by the way. Fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun. So, you know, we're in a good position to weather it. We do miss our audiences. We miss traveling and playing live shows. But there's a lot of people that are, you know, hit by this way harder than we are. We understand that.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it is a time for celebration. The new record, Let the Bad Times Roll, is out now. It's had some incredible success already, charting with some of your highest positions in many countries around the world. How does it feel, like, after all these years, to still be breaking records for yourselves like this on a 10th record now and just seeing the fan base embrace you more than ever?
We've been high-fiving all morning. We're just chuffed.
Yeah, it's really right. it's great. It was kind of unexpected, I guess, but really great.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that's the thing. When you finish a record, you're like, what if people don't like it, you know? And until the fans get a hold of it and they start hearing, you start getting the feedback, it's always kind of a, you know, just a, I we're not super worried because we know we've got great fans out there, and you know, we when we go out and play live, the shows are fantastic, so we're not stressing on it. But you're still kind of like, gosh, I hope this record does well. And so we've been super pleased with the results so far. You know, the feedback's been just phenomenal. It's been great.
I read online that you guys started like writing and recording like 2015 for this. Is that true? Is there songs on the record now that are still there from 2015, 2016?
We always write. We never really stop writing. So some of the songs are older, certainly Coming For You. That's something we released, I think, in 2016. You know, but really about 2 years ago, we had a really creative process, you know, just spurt and period. And probably half or more of this record was written then. Certainly all the most of the lyrics were written around then.
Awesome. Yeah, and how was it working with Robert Rock again? Bobby Rock?
Bob, yeah, Bob's great. He's just part of the family now. He's kind of like your older brother who tells you when you're fucking up, and when you're doing well.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, we work differently. We don't go in for like 3 months straight, and loop the same part over and over 1,000 times. Like, we'll go for a couple of weeks, lay down a bunch of stuff while it feels, fresh and you're kind of, up on it. And then at that point, it's kind of like you're a little bit spent. And so we just kind of walk away for a month and just kind of let it sit, think about it, listen to it a little bit. And then when we come back again, we've got a bunch of fresh ideas to keep on going. So it takes a little longer that way, but it's a much more fun experience.
But that's the thing with this record as well. Like, I've noticed in a lot of interviews and you guys just talking about the album in general, is a lot of people have been really focused on the fact that it's your first in 9 years and the longest gap between records for The Offspring and everything like that. But as you said, you're a band who are always working on stuff, always busy, if it's touring the globe or just not wanting to do things half-heartedly. So after all this time, and does it just feel like the right moment for a new Offspring record for you guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately that's, we had we've been compiling a record for 9 years, and ultimately we got to the point where, okay, this is done. We've got to put this out. This is a really good, solid record. All these songs work well. They work well together. Let's put this out for the fans. And then the pandemic hit.
Right.
And so we spent even more time just kind of polishing, making sure everything was right. We had plenty of time to work on the artwork and all that, for it. And then ultimately it was like, even though we're still kind of, we think we're at the tail end of the pandemic, but everything's still shut down. We still can't tour. We needed to get the record out. It was just, we couldn't wait any longer.
Yeah, that's the thing. But especially in that way, I'm sure there's obviously been a lot of setbacks and just trying to incorporate everything with things from your personal life and stuff. But what were really some of the obstacles with this record? Has it just felt in that 9 years that it wasn't right? It wasn't the right time to push for a record just because?
I think that's exactly it. It just wasn't, the time didn't feel right. All of a sudden, as Needle said, about a year ago, we had this collection of songs that were about things that I felt were important. I wanted to write about things like, the social upheaval we're seeing and addiction things going on in the U.S. and just the craziness of the world. And all of a sudden it felt like, yes, this record, all of a sudden it feels meaningful to us and it feels timely. And so now's the time to do something.
And we had to put it out now while times still aren't that great.
Right.
Because what if we put it out and all of a sudden the good times are here and we got a record called Let the Bad Times Roll. It just wouldn't work.
Totally
so
wrong.
Yeah. So we had to get it out now while shit's still relatively fucked up.
I've just realized now, I've started a new band now and we've got a song that's out where the end of it is me sarcastically screaming, "Everything has turned to shit, fuck yeah." And I've now realized, coming out of this pandemic, everything's going to be fucking brilliant and people are not going to want to sing that anymore. Shit!
That's right.
Fuck!
Yeah, you better hurry up and get that out.
Missed it by that much.
Shit, bollocks.
But I think people all over the years have always seen The Offspring as one of those party bands, if it's for a good time and just getting away from your troubles. I mean, especially over here in the UK, one of your many mega hits will drop in the club night and the place will go insane. Nevertheless, a live performance for you. So, I mean, is it quite nice in many aspects that even though you do touch on a lot of serious subjects and you do have your ballads and slower songs, that people go back to The Offspring and your previous material over years for a good time to escape and party more than ever?
Well, I mean, we write a lot of songs that sound upbeat, but then when you take a look at the lyrics, you realize, oh, that's actually kind of heavy. And then there's some songs where it's just, we're just really having a laugh, Pretty Fly for a White Guy is really just having a laugh, but Kids Aren't All Right is a very serious, kind of look at it, really our neighborhood.
But hearing how like it makes people feel good, like that's a great compliment. I think that's cool. Like,
absolutely.
We're not afraid to take on a tough subject, but there does seem to be something upbeat, I guess, in a lot of our songs or how they're perceived.
And certainly Let the Bad Times Roll is like that. You have these verses that kind of talk about all the shit that's going on in the world. And then the chorus is kind of like, fuck it, let's dance.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let the Bad Times Roll. I feel like it's got a fresher, upbeat The Offspring 2021. Like, it almost feels like a kind of new version. Is that something you felt while writing it, or were you just like, oh, another Offspring song? Or, because to me, it feels all new. It feels kind of fresh.
Well, thank you. I think that's kind of the trick, if you know what I mean, is to make something that sounds like you, sounds true to your band, but also sounds fresh or doesn't sound like you're repeating yourself. You don't think about that in your first couple albums because everything's new, but after a while, you kind of have to think about it a little bit more, because I don't want to feel like we're just rehashing what we've done, but we're not trying to sound completely different, like a different band. We are who we are, and we love this kind of music. So trying to take it to a new place is tricky, but thank you. I feel really good about where the song ended up.
One thing I really wanted to mention, something I've been quite enjoying in the promotion for this, is you guys have started a little how-to video series online, just kind of diving into a load of useless knowledge and little hobbies and stuff that you've incorporated in almost 4 decades now of The Offspring on the road. Please share with us just some of the little things that people might not get to learn in day-to-day life that you've become masters of, because if it's from birds watching to surfing or opening beer, a bottle with any household object, give us your take on everything with that.
Opening a beer, that's an important skill.
Yeah. To know.
And you know, if you're on the road, as you guys probably know, there isn't always a handy beer opener, and you have to make do with something else. So I mean the lighter is the obvious choice, right? And that takes a little practice. It's not quite easy. But once you master the lighter, then, you know, the world is your oyster. All of a sudden, you're like, I can use a bottle of Gatorade. I can...
Another beer bottle.
Yeah. What are some other things?
Yeah. The third season of Kung Fu starring David Carradine. That's one of the ones we used, yeah.
We've actually shot some of this. We haven't put it out yet, but that's yeah. I think we teased that that's going to be the next one. Is
I thought that was out. No, that's not out yet. Huh? Okay.
I hope it's not out.
That's way more important than being able to identify a fucking bird.
I think that your how to bird watch is brilliant.
I don't know if it's an important lesson for people to learn. It might be fun, but
we've had quite a few bird watchers comment on it. In the comments, they're like,
they really?
Noodles, oh my God, I'm an actual bird watcher. This is great. I love this.
I have been hit up. People want to go bird watching with me now. I'm game. Let's do it.
Nice. Twitchers. I believe they call Twitchers. Are they called Twitchers, or have I just
Twitchers?
Made that up?
Twitch, I don't know.
Twitchers.
That might be a British thing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It's probably us ruining everything.
Yeah. But talk to us a little bit more about those things you do learn on the road, because obviously, you know, going from town to town, I'm sure Sean has a lot of things he's picked up along the way. If there's some survival skills, really, you don't get to learn these in going to like scouts or camp or anything like this.
Mine's find the nearest coffee shop. Usually find the nearest good coffee shop, get away from the venue for the day, and then try and get a shower before everybody else as well. That was one.
Well, yeah, finding a comfortable place to take a poop.
Yeah.
Somebody from a punk band wrote a book on all the places nearest the venues that you could comfortably go relieve yourself. If you're playing this, you know, crappy club in Newport, Wales, where's the nearest, you know, clean facility? And you go to the coffee shop around the corner.
Bristol. England is the nearest clean toilet to Newport, I think, to anywhere in Newport. Dreadful. What a terrible town. The amount of time you've been in a band, like, if you collected all these ideas and all these things you could do, you could bring out an Offspring survival book.
If only I hadn't killed all those brain cells with copious amounts of beer and liquor.
Yeah, maybe we could hire a ghostwriter to tease it out of us.
Yeah.
Under
hypnosis, this stuff comes. And when I'm drinking more beer, that's when it all starts coming forward.
Yeah.
Isn't
that kind of true? Sometimes the beer revives those memories that you've lost. Like it unlocks the hatch to those forgotten memories.
Or if you get so drunk, you start making stuff up, people will never know.
Even that's better.
That is true. And that's coming from someone who's never, ever drunk alcohol.
Exactly.
But how do you know?
Business brain is always on. But speaking of venue things, Sean has a favourite type of showerhead.
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, in the UK and Europe, I always noticed that the Triton T80 was the supreme shower. Have you ever noticed? I can't believe I'm all asking the offspring. Have you got a favourite shower unit?
Wow.
That, you've never been asked that before. Surely been, in 36 years, not surely.
That
not.
Is the first.
The problem with your shower heads when you're traveling is the low flow thing. Like, I understand trying to be environmentally friendly, but I mean, come on, it's a trickle sometimes. So that's kind of a pain.
And in the U.S., I haven't found this in Europe, but in the U.S., they'll add water softeners. And sometimes there's way too much of that in there. And it just feels like you're slimy when you come out of the shower. And
So what's the deal with this one, the Trident?
Yeah,
what's special about it?
The Trident T80i. It's just an all-round good shower. And there's several venues throughout the U.K. and Europe which have them. And then... you know, a lot of them are your normal, horrible, you don't even want to try and touch the unit. Like, oh, what's that black shit coming off it? But the Triton T80, you can't go wrong with. And I just like to say...
Triton THC?
No, Triton... Oh, I wish it was THC. Yeah. Triton T80. T and then 80, like the number.
T80, okay.
Yeah, T80.
And we're looking it up. This is... We don't want to. We want to make sure we're
now the T80Z or just the T80 or T80.
There's an I that's all right. There's an I that's quite good. They don't look that spectacular. They just look like a show unit. But I've always found they tend to be the better ones in venues in UK and Europe. So I can't believe we've gone this far down this
whole
fucking hole.
Video on how to install it.
There we go.
Get one of them on a bus. Yeah, find out, make our work.
If you send that to your tour manager now for the UK tour in November. Yeah. But
we will only do venues with a Triton T80.
Yeah, it's on the rider. Yeah. On the rider.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, this one.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, can you see it? I don't know if it's showing up. Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I can't believe. Do you guys, have you guys ever had anything weird on the rider, or have you ever asked for something and got it that you weren't expecting?
Have you tried your luck with something?
We talked about that a lot, of course, you know, ever since Van Halen did it, you know, and then you know, a lot of people have come up with
creative
things. We did. I don't know if we ever actually did it. We wanted to put like a bartender in a bunny suit, you know, serving drinks, just to see that. If that happened. We never. I don't think we ever got it. So
really?
Did we ever do it?
That'd be good. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, there'd be some promoter somewhere looking at the rider that day and freaking out and not wanting you guys to cancel for any reason. So they probably do their best to go and grab one. So worth a shot.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be about 50-50. I think we'd get quite a bit.
Bunny suit bartender.
If that's not a good name for a side project as well.
Yeah.
No, but with all that, I mean, is there any other things that about the offspring people wouldn't necessarily expect, or little things or hobbies you've picked up along the way being on the road for so long? There must be things you've had to occupy your time a bit more when traveling from city to city and country to country.
Well, we always have a group hug and a prayer circle before our
prayer
show.
Circle?
Prayer circle. Prayer circle before.
That's not true. None of that's true.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. There, you know, there's always stuff that I think, this is something that people don't know about me. And I always forget what it was when I actually asked the question. I forgot.
You know.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I think what maybe some people don't know is that it's sometimes good to have a beer or two before the show. One or two is good, but there's a small window, right? Like, you get to like 4, then you start feeling like a little too buzzed during the show, and then it's
so. I have so much fun. but I know that it's going to go to crap. Yeah, my timing is a little off. I may not be hearing the same key that everyone else is hearing at some point. You know,
and the other, if you have 4, my thing, if you have 4 before the show, you got to pee before. Before the encore, it's hard to make it 60 minutes if you got 4 beer slots.
I sweat a lot, so I sweat it out.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a good thought. Sweating out all that beer instead of peeing it out.
The alcohol has to be carefully managed before the show.
Yeah, you need a tech to dab you down in between songs just to get the sweat off. Get off, come here.
Is there being any incidents where you've had to like run very fast at a festival or something to make a toilet before you come back on for an encore or section of a song?
I've never had a problem with peeing, you know, having to run off and pee. But I did go outside of the venue once and lit up a cigarette during the encore, and I got locked out, and they started the encore without me. Banging on the door, everyone's going, "Where's Noodle?"
That's right. I remember that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've had to dash back behind the stage. Or at the festivals, you run down the stairs and you're trying to pee underneath, or whatever. But we don't take really long encores. Well, because it kind of dies down, you know, after like a couple minutes, it starts to feel a little awkward if you're just waiting for it. So I'm always kind of rushing. You got to rush back up to get back in time for the next song.
Nice. Is there an Offspring show where you might have been a little bit too drunk that you can remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Yeah. I think the worst one was back in the day. We played, I think it was Madame Wong's. It was the Hong Kong Cafe. Okay. And I got so drunk, I fell back into the drums and during Beheaded. It just kind of took out the whole drum set. And
oh, wow. But speaking of things people wouldn't necessarily know about the Offspring on first look, Dexter, I'm sure you get this a lot, but you're actually a licensed pilot and scientist, and I think a lot of people would find it very interesting if you could talk a little bit more about that, because, like...
What? I didn't know that. Not even I knew that.
Exactly.
How didn't I know that? Yeah, how did that come about? Yeah. Like, what?
Well, I two separate things, but...
The license is only for the piloting. He's got a certification for his doctorate.
Yes. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I was in graduate school when the band took off back in 94. So I kind of put it on hold for a long time. Well, I really didn't think I was going to go back to it. But at a certain point, I decided I wanted to try to go back.
He didn't want to be known as a dropout for the rest of his life.
That's
college dropout, Dexter Holland.
The University of Southern California was nice enough to let me come back and finish. And that happened just back in 2017. So, So I have a doctorate in molecular biology, and my stuff focused on HIV research. So,
oh, wow. That's fucking unbelievable.
Oh yeah. Thank you. I'm really glad I did it. I don't know where that leads. I think sometimes you just do things that interest you in life and you never know how these things will intersect in the future. But, I just thought it was cool to do that.
And that's amazing. Yeah, that's fucking unbelievable. What's the deal with the pilot's license? Is this something you have to like keep up? Mm. Like, have you had it a while and you can't do it anymore? Or?
Every 10 years.
Nah, get up there. Get up there.
We're not even sure he's current, you know. Whatever. You know. FAA.
Yeah. I just always thought flying was cool. I always wanted to do it. No one in my family does it. It wasn't like someone taught me or whatever. I just always wanted to do it. And so I started flying, 20 years ago, something like that. And I really, really love it. Still fly, once or twice a week.
Oh wow. Yeah, okay. I was going to say, when was the last time? But yeah, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I'm going to fly today after we get done with our interviews.
Are you going somewhere?
I'm going to go to Havasu.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so really, you could have flown over to do this in person, but it just Zoom was easier.
Yeah, but I think we'd have to be in quarantine for 2 weeks.
It's true.
Yeah. No, not over here. Not over here. No. All right. Come in, walk about, cough on whoever you like over here. It's fucking wild. It's the Wild West at the moment. No, the Prime Minister won't stop international flights in either. And even from India, where it's fucking kicking right off at the moment. So we are potentially
really
doomed over here.
Yeah.
So
we're vaccinated, so we'd be okay.
I haven't got my second shot yet. He's fully vaxxed. I get my second shot on Wednesday. So
nice. Yeah, I get my second one on the 26th of May, I think. Can't wait. I cannot wait for shows to come back. That first show back is going to be insane. It's just, Oh, people are going to go fucking wild, and it's going
to
be
amazing. I wonder how many fans are going to be too afraid to go out still. It might not just click like that. Some people might still be a little cautious, and
but then
know.
I think that for all the cautious people, I think the people who were fed up of shows or even jaded by going to gigs are now so desperate for something like that. Like me, I was done. Like, I was just fed up of going to see bands live. Like, because, you know, when you're in there, you see it so much that you kind of... Well, I got jaded. I'm kind of bored by it anyway. But now, I'll try and never miss a gig again by anybody I like. Like, even if I don't like them, I might go just to fucking make sure I was there. So, fingers crossed everything gets back to normal. And... yeah, we can fucking move forward and party again. Finally.
Yeah. We've been talking about that quite a bit. Like, do you think it's going to be crazy, or is it going to people going to be afraid to come out? But I kind of agree with you. I think it's going to be mayhem. I did an outdoor book signing. A bunch of punk rock artists got together. I'm Jim from Pennywise was there, Warren from the Vandals, you know, a bunch of different people. And it was at Alex's bar. It was outdoors, although you could go into the bar and order and buy drinks. And I think people started, you know, everyone was wearing a mask when they show up, but by the end, everyone's kind of like, when you're saying something and you're all muffled, kind of taking it off and dying. I think it's going to go pretty quickly. Yeah. It was nice just to be out. I played music for a couple hours. Josh from the Vandals also played music for a couple hours. And it was just fun. It was nice just being outdoors, hanging out with people, a bunch of artwork hanging up out, you know, outside. Yeah, it was nice.
But with all that as well, I really wanted to talk to you guys really about the history of The Offspring, because as I mentioned, you guys have almost been doing this for four decades now, and not to make you feel old, but that music you've produced has been able to inspire a whole generation of artists today. I mean, obviously, you had the whole mainstream success of really bringing punk rock to the mainstream in the 90s, and there's been the whole pop punk genre of bands coming since. I mean, when you look back at everything that you've been able to do and all the inspiration that has come forward, is it just a quite humbling experience to see how much The Offspring has meant to people and put their kind of landmark on the industry?
You know, I think we're too close to it. We don't really, you know, we've had, you know, even friends of ours, but, you know, bands and then people that we become friends with over the years say that, you know, we were an influence on them and helped inspire them. But we don't take that on. I mean, we just, it's nice to hear that, but we don't really take that on so much.
Yeah. So much like that.
It's hard for us to kind of place that. I mean, we've seen a lot happen. We've seen a lot, you know, take place over the whole time that we've been making music, you know, and then the 27 years that it's actually been something we do for a living. You know, we have seen a lot, but we don't really take it on like that. Like, and you know, it's always weird being called, oh, you're legend. Like, well, yeah. Wait till I'm dead. Yeah. You know, start talking about that. You know, I'm not dead yet.
But I feel the complete opposite of that. I feel like that's the problem. Like when people die, it's only then people say how much they love them. I think like right now, more than ever, we should be like thanking and fucking appreciating people.
Yeah. We definitely are feeling the, you know, the love from our fans. We've got great fans. And when we go out and you know, play all around the world, play live, that's when you're feeling that love immediately. And we do, we consider ourselves so blessed to be able to do that, you know, and to feel that for sure.
For sure.
You know, as far as like how we influenced, you know, the other bands that, you know, and how we might've changed the direction of music or whatever, like that's, you know, we'll let the historians figure that all out.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Well, you did. So there. Yeah. I'm not a historian, as you could probably tell, but you did. So there you go.
Yeah, but on that same note as well, I mean, especially going from the period of becoming just being a band and doing it professionally for a living, around the whole Smash record in the mid-90s, that when everything kicked off, it must have just been a hell of an experience in its own to see that jump of being just doing it as a weekend thing to, oh, this is actually our jobs now. We've actually gone that next step.
Yeah, I think the first time we saw that it might even be a possibility was when we opened up for NoFX in Europe in 93, the summer of 93. And they were actually making money. They were making a living. They didn't have day jobs.
And we were like, and, whoa.
Yeah, blown away. Like, wait, it's possible to do that? But we thought we might be able to do that for a year or two while we finish our educations, you know, go to college and then, you know, eventually have to get a real job. We had no idea that it was going to take the course that it did, you know, but once we were handed that ball, we had to pick it up and run with it, you know, and they still haven't tackled us yet.
Yeah. Yeah, any second now you're expecting people to run in through the room and go, got him! Finally! Yeah, exactly. You've got him! Stop them now!
It does kind of feel like that, yeah, for sure.
I remember my old band, we were signed to Epitaph, and when we were in the Epitaph Europe offices, we'd make fun of them. We'd make a joke about 2 o'clock every day, they'd have to stand up and salute Smash for an hour. Because without Smash, there'd be no Epitaph. And, yeah.
Fucking brilliant. That's good. I like that. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. 2 o'clock every day, everybody in Epitaph has to look at a flag of Smash, play the old album, tidy. Thank you very much.
Here we are.
And another thing was my first ever Kerrang Awards I went to. It was before my failure of a band. It started doing well, so my friend took me, and I went to an afterwards, like an after party on a boat, I believe it was, on the River Thames. And I ran in, because I'd been travelling for 3 hours, ran in, straight to the toilet, having a piss. First rock star I've ever seen in my life. I look to my right, it's Noodles. I couldn't believe it.
I spent a lot of time hanging out in bathrooms. Kerrang Awards.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I'm infamous for my bathroom antics at the Kerrang Awards. Yes. Jesus.
No, yeah, it was. Yeah, I'll have to say for listeners, it was just urination. It was just urination at the time. Yeah, I didn't notice anything. No, I just remember being like, oh my good Lord, like, I can't believe. And yeah, so you were my first rock star I was ever allowed near.
Aww.
And luckily for you, we didn't speak, so that's awesome. But yeah,
luckily for you, we didn't get in a fight because I've done it.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Imagine if that was the story. And
oh no, that'd be terrible. Yeah, well, this wouldn't be happening, would it? Come on, no. Imagine that. Yeah. Oh,
there is a Kerrang story where I got in a brawl at one of the Kerrang Awards, and apparently two of the guys. And I vaguely remember it. Two of the guys, because they had absinthe on the tables at the Kerrang Awards. Come on.
Right.
That's not a good idea to put absinthe on the tables.
No, not
but two of the guys from Sum 41 were in the bathroom when it happened, and they both tell completely different stories about what it was and how it went down.
Was there anybody from another band? I need to know the gossip now.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal.
I thought it was.
He was friends with somebody, and I don't know. He said something to me, and I started to walk away, and I went, that guy doesn't know me well enough to say that to me. And I turned around and just started punching him, I guess.
And yeah. Noodles was like the most peaceful guy in the world. He would never start a fight. Well, maybe, yeah.
Don't put absinthe on your tables.
Right.
Yeah,
literally. But with that as well, we have one thing that we always kind of mention on this podcast, is it's really taking people back to their humble beginnings, really. But is there any moments in particular like that where you've met someone early on in your career that made you really think, oh, wow, like this, how are we this close to this person? How are we getting to do these experiences?
Yeah, we were talking about meeting Joey Ramone and how cool he was, and he would come backstage, and I just would be so starstruck. I didn't know how to approach him, how to talk to him, and I think we both thought he might have felt we were standoffish or something, but we were just so starstruck. We were like afraid of him.
That's awesome. Wow. Yeah, you as wins, I think, of all the ones we've had so far.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one. And guys, just a couple of more very quick things now, because we know you're very busy talking to everyone about all the success of this record. But just something I've always really wondered is, and going back to being doing this for so long now and all the achievements you've had from just playing small bars to headlining festivals around the globe, do you feel that you have to prove anything anymore? Because obviously there's been all those achievements, as I just said, and you seem quite content with what you're doing still, being able to release new music and your priorities have shifted with being family men and all that. Like, do you feel that there's anything left for the Offspring to prove to people, or are you just happy taking everything in your strides now?
Well, I think when we made this record, we wanted, I don't know if prove is the right thing, maybe prove to ourselves that we could still write music that connected with an audience that was relevant today. You know, but I don't know that we want to prove that to other people, or if we just want to prove that to ourselves. You know, I think it's more important to us that we can still come in here in the studio and create songs that touch people in a good way.
For sure. And fingers crossed, you'll be coming back to the UK, scheduled now for a big arena tour in November with the Hives. I'm sure you just can't wait to get back over here and just really connect with fans again and see those audiences connecting with live music.
Absolutely. And playing with the Hives, I mean, what a great band. That's going to be a hell of a tour.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Looking forward to that. Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking the time to have a chat with us. It's been a real pleasure, a treat for us, and looking forward to everything going on with the Offspring for the rest of the year.
Our pleasure. Great talking with you guys. That was fun. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. You're
listening to Sabin Podcast! Yes! I cannot believe that we asked punk rock legends The Offspring what their favorite shower unit was.
It went a little bit awry, but you know what? Whereas I thought, oh, we might fucking lose them now with this fucking shower bit, right? The fact that Noodles literally went on his phone and started Googling shower units was fucking next level. So, I'm pretty safe to... I'm going to put it out there, right? That we might be the top podcast in the world who mentions touring shower units.
Well, I think it's only fair. And that's the thing with Sapnin Podcast. We get the information, the nitty-gritty facts about bands that you can't get anywhere else.
I was going to say that literally nobody asked for.
Is that as well?
I'm so sorry if there's any Offspring fans listening to this for the first time who were like, please ask him a fucking question. I've been fucking dying to know for fucking years. And then we've started talking about the Triton T-80i. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry we had the opportunity to talk to these punk legends and we brought up fucking shower units. But listen, that's all I know.
Hey, what else is more punk rock about shower units backstage at festivals? That's what I mean. Oh, you're not getting it anywhere else.
Yeah, if you're listening to this for the first time and you are now miffed that we didn't ask the Offspring a question that you would have asked them, what you've got to think is, what's more punk rock than not asking questions that they're expecting? Or they know the answers to. Or they're even interested in. What's more punk rock than giving punk rockers questions they don't want to answer? Nothing. Which makes us the biggest of punk rockers.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, what's the fella from the Sex Pistols? Johnny, what's his name?
Lydon.
John Lydon.
Yeah.
Come on, Yaron, fucking have a chat with me about who's more fucking punk, bud. I reckon it's me.
Wow.
You fucking Tory shithead.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow. But yes, thank you so much to Dexter and Noodles for taking time. It was a good laugh. I just like the fact that we made him chuckle. We had a conversation about a few things that I don't think anyone would have ever expected. And it was a good vibe. And please remember that their new record, Let the Bad Times Roll, is available now wherever you purchase music from. Best title to release an album in a pandemic, and they will be touring the UK this November, fingers crossed that they're allowed to, around a few arenas in the country. There's also festivals booked for the States and a few other things popping up and announcements coming very, very soon. So check all of that out. And they have a hell of a back catalogue to fit any mood.
Bloody hell, don't they? Yeah. Yes, they do. They very much do. And yes, they'll be on tour in arenas where they'll definitely have good showers. So congratulations to Offspring for keeping up the fantastic level where you don't have to shower in one of those groggy backstages anymore, where there's stickers all over the wall and the shower head is dangling down from the unit because there's nothing to. So yeah, congratulations to Offspring. Like this is a new thing for us. Congratulations on fucking being massive for 40 fucking years. But genuinely, as much as that being a joke, that is also how I feel. So yes, thank you very much. You have absolute superstars to us. Every inkling and meeting I've had with any members of the Offspring have always been very, very nice. So thank you very much, guys. And thanks again to Concord, their record label, for sorting it out.
Yeah, and hopefully when they do, because they are playing Cardiff on that arena tour, and that's our closest city that we...
What, they're not playing Merthyr?
They're not, to be honest, Sean. I thought as well, like, you know, they might take over the castle in Merthyr and play a gig, but they're playing a posh fucking arena in Cardiff instead. It would be nice to do something with the boys in person, so fingers crossed we can get a little bit
they
deeper.
Don't fucking want that. They don't want that.
Full circle, we do a podcast with them in the shower.
While me and Noodles stand next to each other having a piss. Oh, no, too far.
Let's make that happen. But yes, if you're listening to this for the first time, please make sure you're subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps us a lot. And if you can give us a follow on our social media pages at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram, that would be lovely stuff as well. Send us a message, let us know what you think, or just give us a nice comment to help us throughout the day.
Hey, do you know what? They don't even have to be nice. I'll take a fucking bad one at this point. Thank you very much. As Morgan said, please share, rate and subscribe where possible. Honestly, now the sharing, it's literally just me and Morgan behind the scenes with this. There's no team, there's no fucking producers, there's no editors, there's no network. Nobody's putting these out for us. Nobody's fucking doing it. It's literally just me and Morgan. So, please share where possible on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram, Grindr, whatever you use to talk to people, please share the podcast, because it literally is just us and potentially you guys helping to get it out there. So thank you very much to everybody who shared it before. Please think about keeping that up. Also, please, if you've enjoyed this episode, please think about checking patreon.com/sapnin, where you can get loads of different treats, tiers and kickbacks for supporting your boys, that's me and Morgan. Patreon.com/sapnin. Let us know any guests you want us to reach out to, any ideas, any questions you want to ask us, or future guests. At Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. That's at SAPPENINPOD. At SAPPENINPOD.
Yes, and please remember these podcasts would not be feasible for us to make without our Patreon. So that's patreon.com/sapnin. As Sean mentioned, there's loads of kickbacks, loads of goodies, loads of bonus content, and we put things up from monthly playlists to little bonus episodes, and even some guests. Recently I uploaded a chat we had with WWE superstar Walter, so if you like your graps, you'll enjoy that as well. But speaking of our wonderful Patreon community, Sean, there's a few of them that we would like to thank individually. Now, if you go to the description of this episode, there's a bunch of names there that we like to say thank you to, but we're now going to read out the names provided to us for the top tiers. Those are the elite members, and sometimes they change their names to be funny, make a joke, or just send each other private messages in the form of the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, thank you very much so fucking much to the Patreon. I cannot describe my love for this cuddly fucking monster we've created in the Sapnin Podcast Patreon. So thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns, Janelle Forever Pretending to Hate on Sean, but I actually love you, Castan. Thank you very much, Janelle. Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Nathan Croshaw, Dilly Grimwood, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Kat Besson, Sammy G, Amandine Barno, Shani Meyer Boxel Anderson, Tony Michael, Sarah Heard, we were being nice to you this week, Sean, but for once, can you be nice to me instead, James? Sarah, I'm going to be speaking to you soon, and I'm looking forward to it. I cannot wait. Thank you very much for being part of this wonderful community. You are a fantastic part of it. Thank you very much, Justin Dunn, Amy Campion, Murray Grimwood, Johnny Phillips, he'll never hear this, Scott Jones, Tom, average at best, Charlotte Owens, I don't think his new band name's going to take off, Dan Gies, TJ, a steak pun is a rare medium, well done, Amber Shatlock, Jesus Christ, again, thank you very much, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Danny Eaton, Emily Senegals, Lucy Dietz, Becky Handy, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Louis Cook, Jenny Robertson, Marcy Jacobson, Sharifa Wadali, Jason Heredia, Caroline Robertson, Kevin One Finger or Two Harris. Thank you very much, Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Ollie Spread Love to Sean, Not Abuse, Amesbury, Chris Howard, Joshua, Raiders for Eurovision 2022, Chris. Funnily enough, the Blackout did try to enter Eurovision once. Thank you very much to Adam, King of the Goths, Parslow, Alice Woods, Keris Andrews, Simon Amos, and last but no means, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those. And once again, as always, thank you to everybody involved in the Patreon. We love you. We thank you for your love, your support, your love for each other, your patience, and yeah, just how fantastic and how giving everybody is in that group is fucking unbelievable.
Yes, they are. They are our favourite humans of all time. Thank you again for continuing to make this podcast happen at patreon.com/sapmin. Thank you to anyone listening to this podcast at all. If you've checked out for the first time or you're a regular listener, we appreciate you so much. And please remember to share it every way you can. Not going to lie, Sean, I want to dissect Blackout trying Eurovision, but I think we'll save that for another day, because otherwise I imagine that's going to be a whole fucking story, so we'll get to that. But we will be back next week and every Friday with a special guest, and next one is a look into another side of the industry, and I think not a lot of people will expect it, so stay tuned, or tune back in I should say, next week for the explanation on that.
Justin Bieber.
What do you mean?
It's fucking not now.
Is it too late now to say sorry? Because I was like,
fuck off, Morg. Morg, I'm off. I'm literally turning this off now, right?
Okay.
I'm not even saying Sapnin.
Sapnin!
Thank you, guys. Sorry about him. I'll try and get a new co-host by next week, but Sapnin. Fuck off.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.